Praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. And, you know, it is true. There's a lot of fighting in this world. There are spiritual battles and physical battles and mental battles. And, you know, but, you know, for sure, when we're anchored in Jesus, that is so true. He knows how to take us through. And He knows how to get us through all of that. Praise the Lord. It has been quite a week here, and I don't know if any of you online were looking at the radar screens more recently, and oh my, yes, there were tornadoes that went around us, and lots of wind, and oh boy, lots of water all over the place, and some of us do have a little water in our basement. But with the Lord's help, it will dry, and you know, we get through these things. We know the one who can get us through, and then that's such a beautiful thing. We have our hope, our trust, our faith in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. I thank God. I know some good friends of ours did have their garage cave in, and it'd be Mike and Cynthia for you that know the towns, and the car was inside, or at least one of their cars, and all. But you know, they're thankful that they were okay otherwise. And you know, Mike is a carpenter, and the Lord will help them. But these trials that we have in our lives, it's real, you know. But the Lord uses them to get us to that higher ground and to build our faith. And praise the Lord, with the Lord's help, we're going to talk about faith tonight. We're going to talk about having faith in God, just that simplicity of believing God for what He says and what He has declared. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your precious promises. Oh, God, we thank You that You've kept us, Lord. And, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, we are here tonight to give You praise, to give You glory, to worship You, Lord. We do thank You for what You have done and this hope that we have deep within our hearts. Oh, God, we know we could do nothing without You, Lord. And, oh, God, You know about all these things, oh, God, that go on in this life. But I pray that You'd help us tonight. I pray that You'd add to our faith. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, to fully put our faith, our hope, our trust in Thee, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd give us eyes that can see and comprehend, oh, Lord, the things that are of God. And, oh, Lord, that our hearts, our treasures, oh, Lord, would be on the things that are in heaven. Oh, God, how we need You, Jesus. We ask, O Lord, that You'd help us here tonight. O Lord, that You'd speak to us. O Lord, that Your word would have free course. O Lord, that You'd help us. We could not do anything without You, Lord. And I pray, O Lord, that You'd use this scripture, Lord. O God, that You'd have Your way with this scripture, Lord. O God, that You'd give me the words, Lord. For I know that I need You. I could do nothing without You, Lord. And so we are. We're dependent upon Thee, Lord. But You are our everything. You are our all, Lord. You are the one, O Lord, in whom we put our faith, our trust, our hope. O God, You are the great physician, Lord. Oh God, You are our Savior. Oh God, we can come to You here tonight. Oh God, we can grasp, oh Lord, the things that are written in Thy Word. If You only help us, Lord. Oh God, and we pray that You would have Your way. Oh God, that You'd give us faith, Lord, and that You'd help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, that the devil be bound in all his contrariness, Lord. Oh God, everything that he might try to do to, oh God, hinder, Lord, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We ask that You would have Your way, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in the 11th chapter of Mark here tonight, but just as we began, we know that we do have a definition of faith in the scripture, and it's a very simple one there in Hebrews, that 11th chapter, in that first verse. We know that it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if we were to read this chapter, which I am not anticipating here tonight, we would know that all those that have walked with the Lord, all those that have been conquerors of the things of this world, all of them have had faith, that God put faith in each and every heart of all of those that pleased Him. And praise the Lord, we know, as that sixth verse here in this 11th chapter tells us, that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And you know, there's some things to consider here. You know, we talk about faith, but you know, it's the Lord who puts that faith in our heart. But without it, we couldn't begin to please God. And you know, the very basics here is, you know, if we're to come to God, we first of all must believe that He is, that there is a God, that He's out there, and that we can approach Him somehow. You know, I'm sure there's many, many people who didn't know much, but God put it deep within them somehow to know that there was a God, that there was a Creator, there was one that they could talk to somehow. And you know, God put it within them so that they could reach out, so that they could believe. And praise the Lord, to those that believe that He is, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I, you know, I don't take that word diligently lightly either. Because if we're diligent, we're going to put our very best effort into it. It's not going to be haphazard. You know, it's not going to be sort of. You know, it's going to be a deep thing within us, a great effort. You know, our best effort, you know, to approach God, to come to God, to please God. And so it is, you know, yes, it's going to take faith to come to God at the first. But we have to continue to have faith in order to please God. It's not going to work just because we had it once upon a time. We've got to continue to hold on to that faith and to believe God. And you know, as we've gone so many times to, you know, Luke 18, chapter verse 18, that question that Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Somehow, oh, of course, our God who knows all things, He knew that at the time of His return, faith was going to be a little bit scattered. And there would be a difference in people. And, you know, maybe because of the cares of this life, or maybe because of, you know, all the things that people have been taught, or whatever. Maybe because, you know, they esteem riches and the things of this world. Whatever. All. A lot of times, you know, people don't have a real faith. And they're not really, you know, regarding the things that matter the most, the spiritual things that, you know, we must look after. Oh, yes, because we know we're going to stand before God one of these days and give an account of the things that we have done in our life. But praise the Lord for that faith, and you know, that need to diligently seek Him, to continue in that kind of faith. You know, I just was proofreading the newsletter, and I did spend my morning reading Sam's newsletter, and I think it's a good one. You know, I think it's going to arrest our attention. But, you know, we see some of the things that are coming on this earth. And among all the things, there's a lot of unbelief. And there's a lot of people that, oh, man, are really manifesting signs of very contrary spirits. But, Sam does have to deal with abortion again in this newsletter, and that's never a happy topic. And, it's so unbelievable that, there could be a process going on right now that, a cry. Oprah Winfrey is actually, going along with it. She has asked, for responses on our inspiration page for those that want to shout their abortions. And, it's so hard to understand what is going on in the hearts. There's been quite a response at the time that, the news came forth. There were 300,000 messages from women who were responding to this. And ironically, that is about the number in average of the number that of babies that are aborted in a given year, 300,000 lives. But it's such a sign of the times that we live in. And I guess I feel like going here first, here to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Jesus is on his way to Calvary. But, there were women that were following him, and I don't know completely, the comments that were being made. It says in verse 27 here, in this 23rd chapter of Luke, it said, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him." Oh, it wasn't a happy moment, was it at all? But it tells us in verse 28, "But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And, this has been a topic, over the last few generations. It's, birth control and everything else that Planned Parenthood promotes, is very widespread in this world that we live in. And yes, people are actually saying, "Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck." That's actually a cry. But that 30th verse helps us to know that this is something that happens at the end, before Jesus' second return here. It says, "Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us." You see, that's revealing to me. It's at the end when those seals and all of those things are poured out, God's wrath upon this earth. And, the coming of the Lord. When they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. So I believe that indicates when all this cry goes forth that we're near to the end. And it says, "For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And oh my, I've thought of this. A green tree, when things are growing, when rain is falling, the sun is shining, and things are growing, a green tree. And if this cry is, have sustenance when things are growing. But if this cry is going about when things have some prosperity to them, Jesus asks, what shall be done in the dry? When things aren't growing, when the earth is stricken, it's a troublesome time. And this could be applied even spiritually. But oh my, yes, the signs of his coming. Oh yes, and We look up at the clouds, and there's been lots of them in our skies here lately. But, oh my, one of these days, our Lord and Savior is going to break through those clouds. Oh, praise the Lord. That moment that we have talked about for so long is going to come to pass. Oh, yes. Our Savior draweth nigh, and the attitudes. Oh, yes, the evil man, the seducer, is waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, people's, their consciences must be seared. The way they're talking, ugly things that come from their minds, from their mouths. You know, how could they have a conscience toward God at all? But that is the time that we're living in. Oh, yes, there has been a great falling away. And I believe that falling away has happened since, you know, years before. But at this time, it's greater. It's greater than ever. And oh my, the spirits that are prevailing. Oh my. Let's go into Mark, the 11th chapter here. Mark 11. It tells us in verse 1, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him." And of course, this whole event was, you know, prophesied in Zechariah, the 9th chapter, in verse 9. And, you know, it's quite an amazing thing. You know, you see Jesus, how, you know, being God manifested in the flesh, and, you know, he gave them very precise, exact instructions. You know, there was going to be a colt, and, you know, a colt that had never been ridden on. You know, nobody had ever sat on that colt. It was a wild colt, I would say then. You know, and yet Jesus, you know, he's going to get on that colt and ride it. So anyway, he knew all the details. He knew exactly where to find it. And he even told, you know, his disciples exactly what to say if they were asked, you know, why loosen ye the colt. You know, how he knew it all, you know. Oh, you can see the deity of Jesus Christ so clearly, how he was God manifested in the flesh. So, you know, they did all this. And, you know, exactly as he instructed and told them, it happened. And they brought that colt to Jesus, as it tells us in verse 7, and they cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And, of course, there are more details in some of the other Gospels, but, you know, here it's describing his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And, you know, finally, you know, these people who had seen him do all these miracles, the casting out of devils, the healing the sick, you know, the blind eyes, those that were lame, you know, just everything that needed to be done, he had done it. I don't think he had been honored or exalted or praised very often at all, if ever, and certainly he deserved it. And suddenly, at this moment, it seems that maybe people are beginning to grasp it. And you know, there's a moment of rejoicing here. There's a moment of praise and exaltation. In fact, it tells us in the Gospel of Luke that, you know, they were making such a noise to, you know, those that were offended, thought it was a tumult or something, you know, that, you know, they told the disciples to have, you know, them hold their peace. But Jesus said if they should hold their peace, even the very rocks would cry out. Oh, yes, the praise, the glory, the honor that belongs to our Savior. Oh, yes. So here it describes it. Verse 8, it says, many spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And you can imagine, oh yes, they were worshiping. They were praising. They were crying, Hosanna. Some of them were waving palm branches. And some, you know, laid their garments out in the path that cult would follow. It was a great moment in that sense. But it tells us in verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And obviously, he must have been staying in Bethany and the 12 also being with him. And here we're getting to something. Here, verse 13, it says, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. I want to just comment here briefly. Here, fig tree was very important to the Jewish people. It was a token of peace. It showed divine favor. And failure of a tree, of a fig tree to grow, would denote that there was going to be some kind of national calamity to their way of thinking. And also concerning the fig tree, you know, it wasn't so easy to see if fruit was growing on it at the first. You know, the fruit would be inconspicuous at the first. It was green like the leaves. And you'd have to look really carefully because they would be concealed. The little fruit that was growing and not fully ripened, it would be edible, but, you know, it wasn't so easy to see. And it wasn't time that, it was fully ripened, it appears from the description here. So Jesus is coming. He's coming from Bethany, it tells us, and, you know, he was human. He was God, he was man. And that human side of Jesus Christ was hungry. As a man, yes, he had to eat. We get hungry. Yes, Jesus got hungry too. And so there was this fig tree. It was afar off at the first, but, you know, he could see the leaves, and, you know, he came to look at it, and, you know, he was hoping to find something there that he could nibble on, that he could eat, that would be nourishing. So he must have had to just, you know, as, you know, I've learned that, you know, the fruit would be real conspicuous. So obviously he had to look at the leaves to see, you know, if there was, you know, some fruit growing under those leaves. But, you know, it tells us that when he looked, that there was nothing. There was nothing at all. And, you know, it's interesting, this with the fig tree, because, we learned bits and pieces about the fig tree. And in Luke, the 13th chapter, and I'll be coming right back here to Mark 11, but Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus told a parable. And it was a parable in Luke, the 13th chapter, and it starts at verse 6, where he spake unto this parable. He spake also this parable, it says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. This sounds like what was happening here in Mark. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And I believe this parable was parallel to Jesus' ministry, 3 years. And he came unto his own, you know, and he was feeding them the spiritual manna from heaven. He was telling them things that they had never heard before. He was introducing the kingdom of heaven to those that lived at that period of time there in Judea, in Galilee, Samaria, wherever he taught. But you know, largely Jesus Christ was rejected, and I believe it is parallel to this parable that Jesus was telling here in Luke 13. You know, there was this fig tree, you know, 3 years, you know, fruit had been sought of it, but there was no fruit on it. So, you know, it was said to the dresser of the vineyard, you know, I've been looking at this fig tree for 3 years and there's never any fruit on it. Never. Why do you allow it to cumber the earth? You know, I just cut it down. You know, it's no good. And, you know, the dresser of the vineyard, he had a little more patience, he figured, and figured, well, he would do a little bit more to encourage it to grow and just give it a wee bit more time. And, you know, if it would, then therefore bear fruit, having done his very best. Then, you know, they could keep it, you know, and it would be sustaining. But otherwise, he said, well, then, if I, you know, I put some fertilized material upon it, and if I dig around about it and encourage growth and it still doesn't do anything, yes, let's take it down. And of course, you know, Jesus' ministry, 3.5 years, and you know, here he is coming from Bethany and seeing a fig tree afar off that doesn't bear any fruit, nothing but leaves. And Jesus answered here, back here in Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. That was the end of that fig tree. You know, those 3.5 years were over at this point, so to speak. And it goes on to say, And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. Oh my. That place, yes, that was to be revered. That place that had been dedicated to God. They had brought in things to sell in that temple. Oh yes, they were making money. They were overcharging. Even the people saying that they had to use temple money to obtain those things that they would use for sacrifices. Oh my. God was not pleased at all. He was not pleased at the merchandise, at the things that were going on there in that place that was supposed to be dedicated unto prayer. And he did as he did at the beginning of his ministry. Now it's the end of his ministry. And he went into that temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves. And he wouldn't let them carry any other vessel through the temple.
And he made a point of it. My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. All the corruption in the churches today, oh my, so often I'm afraid that churches have become places of merchandise, place where you have bazaars and, you know, all kinds of different fundraising events, you know, social events and bingo parties and even, you know, the sell of liquor, whatever all people have in their minds to do. You know, Sam is writing also in this newsletter that will soon be printed by the grace of God, that there's a church in Santa Cruz, California, and this pastor has it in his heart, if you can call him a pastor, that is, to open up a restaurant and brewery. And his intention is to give a portion of the proceeds of the profit to Planned Parenthood, of all things. And oh, it pleases him to think that, you know, he would have a church that serves beer and gives the profits away to places like Planned Parenthood. Oh, I tell you what, oh, what has this world become? Oh my, what have the places of worship become? Oh, there's all kinds of things going on in places that should have been dedicated to God. Oh, God sees it, and God will judge it. Oh, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And oh my, all kinds of things. Oh, people have brought concepts from Eastern religion into that place that was supposed to be a place of worship, a place that supposedly had been dedicated to God. Oh, there's all kinds of strange things happening, you know, ministries where, yeah, that minister might be a sodomite. You know, all kinds of things, you know, except in, you know, having a, you know, had a sex change and, you know, somebody who was a man is now a woman, and yet, you know, it's embraced, it's accepted, you know, and all these kind of things are, yeah, part of the scene here in this world that we live today. How disgusting such a reproach to Almighty God, plus the things that are taught, all the, you know, social gospels, all the, you know, the platforms that are given over to drum sets and lights and everything else. And it's in my purse. Could you take out my cell phone and turn it off for me? Thank you. I'm sorry. I just got it. Yeah, it's in there somewhere. Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. But such was going on in the days of Jesus Christ. And yes, it continues. I think it all shows us how late we are in this time period, how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ. And it tells us here in Mark 11, verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and thought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Oh, the people were listening. And, you know, I know in the other Gospels we're told that after, you know, the money changers and all the things, the merchandise were cleansed out of the temple, the people came unto Jesus. And he healed them. All the things that can be done when things are made clean and right and proper. But here, the scribes, the chief priests, heard what had been done. And, oh, they don't like it at all. Their apple cart has been upset. And they're trying to figure out how they might get rid of Jesus. Oh, but they don't know. The people, you know, are listening. You know, they're a little afraid of, you know, just getting the people on the other side and offending them, so, you know, they put it off for the moment. It continues to tell us, and when even was come, he went out of the city. After he had left the temple, he left the city, and in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And remember, Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. And it's quite amazing as they are coming by it again that this fig tree, it's completely dried up from the roots. You know, I think that might indicate that it was no longer even in the ground, but you know, roots had perhaps loosened. You know, it's quite a thing. It was very obvious, obviously. And verse 21 says, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh yes, the Lord had used that fig tree, and I believe it was symbolic of the rejection of Jesus Christ by the nation of Israel. But my, at his word, it had withered up. It had withered away. The fig tree dried up from the roots. And it was astonishing, obviously. And when they saw it, Peter couldn't help but say, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. What a sight! Just like that, he said it, and it happened. All the words of Almighty God, God manifested in the flesh, the man Christ Jesus. And he answered, have faith in God. Oh, the things that, oh yes, if we just have faith, the things that can be done. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, that's faith. Faith, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them, he said. Oh, that's faith without doubting. That's believing the things that we ask for will come to pass. Then he went on to say in verse 25, and when ye shall stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So here he's indicating one of the things that indicate that come against faith. And that is not forgiving. Having unforgiveness in the heart. Oh yes, it, you know, not only will it keep you from yourself being forgiven, but oh, it's going to hinder greatly. And Jesus is pointing out the great need to forgive from your heart and to not let anything like that stay
deep within. Oh, yes, things happen in this world. Things that we don't understand. Things that don't make sense. And, you know, people sometimes, you know, it's without anything that we did of our own selves, you know, causing us a lot of trouble. But yet, the need to forgive from our heart so that we can be forgiven and so that our prayers would not be hindered. And yes, you know, Psalm 66 also indicates, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that's another thing that keeps people from receiving the good things of God. Sin, iniquity, things that are deep in the heart that they haven't given over to the Lord. Things that they're hiding deep within. Oh yes, that could prevent the Lord from being able to do the things of faith within our very being. Oh yes, how we need to have faith. But Jesus is emphasizing that need when we stand praying to forgive or to let go of anything that would hinder. Oh yes, to let go of any sin that would be deep inside. Things that will keep Him from being able to work within us. But He's talking about a people, yes, that have faith, that have made it right with the Lord, and have made, you know, given their lives over to the Lord. He's talking about a faith. A faith so strong that you could say to yonder mountain, a mountain, what is huger than the mountain? But, you know, faith. And He said, as a grain of a mustard seed in other places, say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And if you don't have doubt in your heart, but believe, Jesus said it would happen. Jesus said it would happen. You know, we just had that wonderful study there about Elijah and his ministry from Brother Samuel there on last Sundays. And, you know, I love the faith of Elijah and Elisha likewise. Those men that showed real faith in God, that's for sure. But, you know, I think it's pretty neat there in 2 Kings, that second chapter there when just before Elijah was carried off and translated. And I imagine this was a practice with him, you know. He's going, you know, he's moving along there, you know. He came from Gilgal, and then they went to Bethel, and then they went to Jericho, and you know, then they came to the Jordan River. And, you know, yeah, there's a river here, you know, but it's no problem. What did Elijah do? You know, he took that mantle that he was wearing, he folded it up, and he smote the water with his mantle. What does the scripture tell us? The water divided. And he and Elisha were able to walk over on dry ground. That's the faith of Elijah. Just believing God, taking, you know, that mantle, folding it up, hitting the water with it. And yes, the divide, just like that. And they walk across on dry ground. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, yes. After he had been carried off, that mantle fell, didn't it? And Elisha saw him go. Oh, yes, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he didn't see him after that. He took his own clothes and rent them in two places. But, oh, that mantle of Elijah fell to the ground. And Elisha took that mantle that fell. And he went back and he stood by the rivers
of Jordan, the bank of Jordan. He took that mantle of Elijah that had fallen, and he smote the waters just as Elijah had done. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. No problem. Yes, there's a river here. But oh, he smote the water, and they walked across. Or in this case, it was just Elijah, because Elijah had been translated. Oh, praise the Lord. That's faith, isn't it? And I love that faith. I love that when, you know, Elijah was praying there, you know, on Mount Carmel. Yes, there were things that had to be taken care of. The people were so confused. They were worshiping Baal, all those false gods. Jezebel had all those false prophets. But after that fire came down from heaven and consumed of the burnt sacrifice or the sacrifice, consumed the dust, consumed the stones, it consumed the water, consumed everything. And suddenly the people could see and know that God was God. Oh yes, that the God of Elijah was the true God. And Elijah had turned their hearts back to the living God. Praise the Lord. But, you know, after that had been done, and then, you know, there were those prophets of Baal that, they couldn't be there. They had to go, you know. And yes, the nitty-gritties here, yeah, Elijah had to take them and slay them. But, you know, it had hindered the work of God. It had made it impossible for God to work there. They'd had those years of famine. But now it was time for rain to come again. And after all those things had been taken care of and the hearts of the children of Israel had been turned back to God, what did Elijah do? He went up to Mount Carmel, yes. But before he did that, before there was any indicators at all, he told Ahab, "Get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." See, that's faith. He's talking faith. You know, there were no clouds in the sky at the moment, but Elijah believed God. Elijah had faith. And here it is. He told Ahab to get thee up. Oh, yes, there's going to be a sound. Get thee up and drink. You know, have your water. Go forth. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. But it hadn't fallen yet. Elijah went up to Mount Carmel. And his servant was with him. And you know, what did he do? He got down on the ground. His head between his knees. And he began to pray to God. And you know, he prayed. He had his servant go look. There were no indicators. There were no clouds in the sky. But did Elijah give up? No. He prayed again. Prayed the second time. Had his servant go look. Still, no clouds in the sky. No indicators at all that there was going to be rain. Did Elijah give up? No. He prayed the third time. Same story, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, and then the seventh time. And this time, oh my, the servant saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Oh, not a very big cloud up there. But that's what Elijah was waiting for. And he knew that there was going to be the sound of abundance of rain for sure. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He told Ahab, "Prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And you know that faith that he had. You know, we saw a little cloud the size of a man's hand. You know, would we think that rain was coming? But, you know, you see Elijah's faith. And I marvel at it, you know? Oh, yes, as he's coming down or whatever, you know? The heaven, indeed, did become black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Oh, Ahab was riding out on his chariot, going to Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran the chariot. Oh, this man, this faith that he had. I love the faith of Elijah. But Jesus was talking to those that were with him there. Oh, yes, as they noted that fig tree, going back here to the 11th chapter of Mark, that fig tree that had been withered from the roots, dried up from the roots. And he just simply told them, have faith in God. Have faith in God, for verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, things made right. Things had to be made right in old Israel before that rain could fall. Yes, God had kept back the rain because of the idolatry, because of sin, all the things that hindered. But when it was gone, the rain could fall. And Jesus is telling us, yes, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But when you stand praying, forgive. Because if there's, you know, unforgiveness in your heart, you know, if there's some hardness in your heart, you know, you're holding on to grudges and all kinds of other things, you know, I don't believe the Lord's going to answer. And if you're double-minded, you know, and you've got sin in your life, and you know, you're just sort of thinking it might sort of happen. He said, without doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart, but believing, oh, the simplicity of faith, because he said it, because God has declared it, it's going to happen. That simplicity of faith, because the Lord said it, we can believe. Praise the Lord. The 18th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said in the 18th verse, the 18th chapter and the 18th verse, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, praise the Lord. He's talking about our ability through the Holy Ghost to be able to bind the things that hinder us here on earth through the authority of the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by that same power to be able to loosen the things that need to be loosened. Oh yes, the things, oh yes, that we have need of. Oh, yes, that seem maybe impossible. But he made a way. He put his spirit within us. He told us that greater things than he had done we would do. Because he went into the Father. But he sent back his spirit, didn't he? Oh, yes. Elijah received a double portion of Elijah's spirit, didn't he? But Jesus sent forth his spirit to those that would embrace his promises and come unto him and believe. He sent back his spirit. He sent back the Holy Ghost that which he gave up there at Calvary, he sent back on the day of Pentecost so we could be endued with power from on high. Oh yes, so that Holy Ghost baptism could be part of our lives, and that we could have authority with God. Oh, that we would have the authority to bind on earth those things that need to be bound, those hindrances, those unclean things, those tempting things that might come up and try to get the best of us, those things that cause other people to be hindered, we could bind on earth. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, yes, we can loosen faith. Yes, we can loosen the things that we have need of for our lives. Oh, if we could just begin to grasp the things that God has for His people. Yes, the works of faith that He has for us. Yes, He said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, you know, it's a positive statement. And two of us coming together and agreeing, as you know, taking authority over a circumstance, a situation, a need, whatever it is, agreeing, touching anything that they shall ask, that it would be done. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, praise the Lord. That bold faith that the Lord gives His people. Praise the Lord. Oh, the possibilities, you know, that we haven't quite grasped, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, but oh my, there's no limit to the power of God. God has not changed. Oh, times have changed. People have changed. Circumstances have changed. But God, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and He changes not. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 12, Jesus said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." What is He talking about? He's not talking about us, you know, trying to overwhelm people, knock them down, and, you know, do all kinds of destructive things in that sense at all. But there is much opposition when we try to serve God. And we are going to have some real determination within our spirit in order to make it through. You know, there's going to be times that we're going to have to do things that seem unseemly. You know, if Elijah could smite the water, believing that, you know, the Lord would bring it up and he could walk across on dry ground, you think that, you know, could be a possibility today? That man, yes, he had faith. But you know, yes, we're going to fight. You know, there's going to be all kinds of things that are going to seem like they're in our way and in our face. And, you know, trouble. And, you know, people are going to say things to discourage us and to hinder us. And, oh, that can't be. Oh, well, you know, you're foolish. You know, you're silly and whatever all. But, you know, we have the Word of God. We've got something to hang on to. You know, he's talking about people. Yes, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. In other words, you know, there's a lot of agitation. There's a lot of opposition. And Jesus knew what opposition was. He you know, was in his face all the time. You know, people that bucked against his words and didn't believe him, who scorned him, who mocked him, who ridiculed him, who, you know, talked about killing him. Oh my, you see that again and again. But there was a work that needed to be done. And oh yes, it was going to be accomplished.
because Jesus Christ came to this world to accomplish it, to fulfill the plan of God that was ordained from the foundation of the world, and it was going to be. But it wasn't without great determination, without great effort, you know, and He puts it within us to press. Oh yes, to be very determined in our servitude toward God. Oh, it's not going to be a simple, easy walk, you know. We're going to have to stand against people that are going to test us. It might be family members. It might be somebody that we love very much. It might be our neighbors. Who knows who it might be? But there has to be a great determination so that we can go forth with all our strength, with all our might, with all our hearts, with all the faith that God gives us to go forth and do the will of God. Oh, God, help us. There is so much to do in this world that we live in. The times are so evil. And oh, we see sin all around us. It abounds at this point. And hearts are so turned away. People would rather have an easy gospel. Oh, yes, they would rather have their ears tickled. You know, just tell me something that's nice. Tell me something that's pretty. You know, I don't want to have to change very much. But, you know, to follow the Lord means that we put Him first. Oh, yes. And Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." No, there's a pressing in the kingdom of God. Oh, there's going to be some real determination. We need faith, that faith in God, and we're going to have to hold on to that faith with all our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, those that have been victorious in the Lord Jesus have all gone through trials and times of testing. There isn't one of them that you could say had it simple, easy. You know, just everything laid out, and you know, no rough spots at all to smooth over. You know, no mountains to climb. No, I'll tell you what. We are going to need the strength of God to prevail in this world, and to do those things that He has committed unto us to do. But He has made a way. We put our heart to it. We strive to enter in with all our heart, with all our determination. And when we give it our all, give it our best, that diligence that we so need to serve the Lord. Turning to James, the fifth chapter, verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." See, and here it's talking about circumstances. You know, we all go through things of testing. You know, my hand, you know, I had some kind of rather severe rash a couple weeks ago. And, you know, sometimes you don't know what to think. You know, you're fighting this, and, you know, there may be some nice things that you could do. I know, you know, put some aloe vera on it, and use some tea tree oil and, you know, do the things that you know to do when you have at your fingertips, so to speak. But, you know, there's a lot you don't know, you know. That's my hand, Lord. Rash all in between my fingers and skin peeling on my palm and everything else. But, you know, God is our great physician. God knows how to heal us. And, yeah, we're going to fight through some things. You know, we're not always going to know, but, you know, Lord, you know, you said you would heal us. You know what? You're my physician, you know. And you know, I know you can do it. You know, earlier this year, Brother Tim found out that he had diabetes and he had a very high blood sugar reading initially. But, you know, God has helped him. And in June, about the 15th, it seems, he decided he wasn't going to take insulin anymore. He's had a good reading and, you know, just had that kind of faith in his heart, and he put off the insulin. And the amazing thing is, he's had some A1C readings, and the last one, the woman who took that reading, Martha, she said she'd never seen anybody recover so fast. She said he didn't have to prick himself anymore. You know, that his score was in a normal range. But I'll tell you what, that's what God can do. And sometimes, you know, faith doesn't always come easy. We might have to, you know, buck against a lot of thinking and all. But, you know, God knows how to come through. He knows how to heal us. And here in James, the 5th chapter, verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, yeah. I know what that's about. I mean, boy, I see the Lord come through. So, "Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, yesterday Samuel brought over the newsletter, and tell you the truth, my eyes are bothering me a lot. They're really blurry and something else. And I asked Sam to pray for me. You know, I thank God. Oh, how the Lord helped me. I was able to read that newsletter, small print and all, and all articles and everything else that I had to do. How the Lord helps us. Oh, we serve a mighty God. Now, I'm so thankful, yes. Oh, there are times we get down on our knees. But there are times, oh, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to have somebody that we can call, an elder that we can call, that will pray over us. And even anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, that powerful name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, that name that is above every name. Oh, I thank the Lord how he has helped us. Oh, yes. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Oh, that's faith. That's faith in the Lord, the prayer of faith. Look, it shall save the sick. If we could just get our mind out of the way and all those doubts and all those fears and, you know, what everybody else is thinking and, you know, what the doctor said last month and everything else. "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is able. We serve the mighty God. There is nothing too hard for our God. The one who simply said, "Have faith in God."
Oh, yes, I can. Yeah, I can make that tree wither. I just thought, you know, my words. Well, no wonder. Thank God spoke this world into existence. And so it is to this day. Yes, bidding on his axis, so we say. But what it really is doing, it's standing on the Word of God. Oh, the one that put it in motion, the one that is making it spin. Yes, it's standing on the Word of God. Praise the Lord, we can stand on that Word too. Oh, yes, that faith that He puts within our hearts. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous. Right heart with God. Effectual praying, yes, with faith. Believing God. Fervent with all your heart, you know. And ardently, you know. It just, you know, just believing. Giving it over to the Lord. That zeal of the Lord is showing it. And then, of course, it talks about Elijah, that man we've already spoken of here tonight, a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, just to have faith in God. We could say to yonder mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. If we could just believe, get rid of the doubts, get rid of the fear, get rid of the sin, get rid of everything that would easily beset us. Put that faith in God. Believe, oh Him, His promises, those things that He has declared. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, our God is here tonight. Our God is here, oh, to do the things that would seem impossible with man. But we serve the mighty God. Oh, we serve Him. And oh, He's able to save. He's able to deliver. He's able to set us free. And to, oh, yes, He's able to heal us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We need to have faith in God. That simple faith in God. Just believe in Him for what He has said, what He has declared, what the Word of God states. Well, we can just embrace those promises and stand on them. Oh, there's nothing too hard for God. He does know how to do the things that are impossible with man. That simple faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you would put that faith in our heart to believe you. Oh, God, put it within us, Lord. Oh, God, that we would not doubt. Oh, God, that we would not draw back, oh, Lord. But, oh, God, that, oh, we would give it all over to Thee instead of Thy promises, Lord. Put that faith in our heart, oh, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Oh, God, get us to that high ground. And help us to believe You, Lord. Help us to trust You. Help us to have that faith in You. Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have faith in God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.